Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
So glad to be with you once again, and we're operating from Cleveland, Ohio, and this is going all over the world, and it's so interesting to see the people that check us out on the website from many different countries. And Brother Davis is with us today, and Brother Marvin Bassinger, and they're helping me out here today. And so Brother Davis just told me he's Pastor Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and he just told me we have some new countries. What were they again?
That was Bulgaria and Malaysia.
Well, that's wonderful. And if you're listening right now from there, well, we welcome you to the worldwide program of Bible believers. And here we have people that believe that we have the Word of God today. The Bible says we can handle God's Word. And the Bible also says we can look at the perfect law of liberty. And so we talk about where it is, and sometimes I like to call this program Equal Time, because there's so many people that attack the Bible or correct it or so on, and so what we do, we uphold it, and we believe that God said that he would keep his words, and so today we have his words. I think we'll start the program off today, and Brother Davis, he's pastor of Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and he's a big blessing and a big help, and he gives a science report, and so we'll ask him to start off and give us his science report today from the Bible.
Right. Thank you, Bruce. And also, before I say that, I want to mention, too, your website at whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. And you can find out more about Bruce Musselman there and also listen to some of the past programs. And there's links to some other things with Bruce Musselman preaching, as well as links to some of the materials and books that Bruce recommends from time to time. And that's whereisgodsword.com. Well, being that it's autumn here in the Northern Hemisphere, I wanted to share something here that I found kind of interesting in Isaiah chapter 6. In Isaiah chapter 6, and I'll just read a portion here, starting in verse number 11, it says, "Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and land be utterly desolate. And the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land." And he says this in verse 13, "But yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and it shall be eaten as a teal tree and as an oak, whose substance is in them when they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof." And this picture here has to do with judgment that's going to come on Israel. But of course, it gives an illustration here of the trees when they cast their leaves. Well, we're in that time of year here in Northeast Ohio where the leaves are coming off from the trees. And if you're in an area where, of course, you have a lot of deciduous trees, they're called deciduous because they lose their leaves every year. And wintertime is coming. And I remember our daughter, who had grown up in the Samoan Islands, had never seen the fall change of the leaves and their colors and all. And I remember telling her that this tree in the backyard, it probably in a few weeks the leaves were going to go from green to yellow, orange, or red colors, and then they would all turn brown and fall off. And I could see she really didn't get it. And then one day we walked out the back door and she stopped and she says, "What's wrong with that tree?" Because almost overnight the tree was changed colors from green to a bunch of yellow, orange, and red and all that. So I thought, you know, looking at this passage here, and I remember reading this in the past, and this is an interesting scientific statement that we find here in this analogy that God uses about how even though it would look like Israel would be decimated, there would be something left in it that would come back. And that's what happens every autumn when you see the leaves begin to change colors. And it says there, whose substance is in them when they cast their leaves. And that's interesting because at first you would think it makes no sense for the trees to cast their leaves. After all, they go to all that trouble of growing them. But there's a lot of good reasons why they do that. And one of the reasons is in the wintertime, if those broad leaves stayed on the trees, the likelihood of the limbs being broken because of snow and ice would be much greater. Plus, the tree would not be able to maintain those leaves, and when it gets harsh, dry winter winds blowing across them, and it would cause water to be pulled out of the tree during times when it got warm enough, and it would cause all kinds of problems. So what the tree does is God has put some amazing substances inside of the trees, and these substances, they cause the trees to begin to, as the days get shorter, to begin to move nutrients out of the leaves back into the tree itself, into the trunk, and down into the roots. They pull out the sugars and they pull out the nutrients and a lot of things, leaving behind a skeleton. Now, see, the tree's leaves generally look green because of the chlorophyll. And there's a lot of chlorophyll in there that gives them the green color. That's what allows photosynthesis to take place, which allows them to take the carbon dioxide that we breathe out and convert that into plant food or sugars, which we can use, as well as oxygen, which we certainly need. And so carbon dioxide is a tremendous plant food. In fact, they actually put it into greenhouses to help plants grow better and be more productive. So when the sunlight starts to decrease, then the chlorophyll is not as effective and it begins to die off, and the building blocks of chlorophyll are moved back into the plant, into the tree. And then it leaves behind, there's two other compounds that you find. There's carotenoids, which tend to give yellow and orange colors. And if you think of a carrot, you can remember carotenoid pretty easily, nice orange carrot. And then there's the anthocyanins, which tend to give the red to the bluish colors that you'll see in some trees in the fall. And so as the chlorophyll comes out of the leaves, some of those are left behind, the carotenoids and anthocyanins, and they leave the bright reds and the yellows and the purples and the bluish colors that we see this time of year on the trees in the autumn before the leaves begin to fall off. And then eventually, as much of the sugar that can be taken out of the leaves comes out of them, and a layer of specialized cells begins to form at the base of the leaf, and that's called an abscission layer. And as those cells begin to develop, eventually what happens is they break free. And it's cleaner than a surgeon's knife when it breaks free. And it forms a nice callus layer that prevents water from evaporating or coming out of the tree or any kind of a wounding effect. And those leaves that the tree is done with drop to the ground. And it's not over then yet, because the leaf itself is broken down, which provides nutrients for the tree next year as the tree begins the cycle all over again. But the amazing thing is, just like the Bible says about here in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 13, but yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and shall be eaten, as the teal tree and as an oak, whose substance is in them when they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. And we can see that. The oak tree, the teal tree, these are deciduous trees. And when they cast their leaves, the substance is in them. The tree recycles all that back into the tree, and it survives. They might look dead, but they're not dead. They're just going dormant and waiting for the springtime. And also that was the picture that was used for the Jewish people, the Hebrew children. They might have looked dead when they went into the captivity, but God reserved their substance in them, the spirituality, so that they could be brought back into the land and be used for God's glory. Just like the oak tree and the teal tree and all the deciduous trees, their substance is going to be in them, and they'll be looked dead during the winter, but when it comes spring, they'll begin to burst out with flowers and leaves and everything else and start the cycle all over again.
Well, thank you for that report. It's always interesting. And we're sitting in an area south of the city of Cleveland, Ohio, in the United States. And we can look out the window. It's really beautiful out there where the trees are changing their colors and so on. I used to play out there when I was a child in those woods. And it's interesting. When I was a child, though, most of the animals were no longer there at that time. And that's quite a long time ago. That's probably that's about 60 years ago when I was playing out there in the woods. And hardly any wildlife there. And now it's really come back. It's amazing because we see deer out there now. And I understand now where they have coyotes there. And all types of animal life are coming back and in those woods. And it's a very beautiful area where we're at here in Cleveland, Ohio. Well, I think that you mentioned I want to greet the folks that visit for the first time on our program, Malaysia, from Malaysia, and you said from Bulgaria. And so we have folks from all over the world. We literally, Brother Davis here, he makes a report for me every week. The people came on our website, and we've had thousands of hits on the website. And so from many, many countries in the world, it's just amazing to me, all the different countries that listen to us and how many listen to us from these different countries. And so God has given us this forum. Now, we believe some of the things, some people that would be irritated by things that we say. For instance, in the Old Testament, God said that my shepherds are all dumb dogs. DDs, they got a DD degree from the Lord, dumb dog degree, because he says they refuse to bark. Well, this program is partly a barking program, and no barking by a dog is comfortable. That's very irritating to listen to a dog bark, and in a way, that's what this program is, because what we're saying by this program is there's a true text that has come down from the prophets. It's called the Hebrew Masoretic Text. And from the apostles, and it's called the Koine Greek text, and it's found its way into the King James Bible, and so we believe today, and what our program is saying is that the King James Bible, and translations from it are the Word of God, and it's interesting though there's so much confusion. I call them almost the chaos cult. Cult is a group of people. One of the definitions is they follow the leader. Whatever the leader says, they believe it without question. And today we have many people on the air contradicting the King James Bible. They'll say this is an unfortunate translation, a better reading is, and so on. Well, first of all, I'd like to ask them, where is their Bible? There is a famous individual that was some type of a Greek scholar. And it's very interesting that he made a statement like this, and I've just heard the statement recently. He stated that when you read the King James Bible, you are reading what God said. And if you take that statement literally, that's exactly what we believe. The Bible says we can look at the perfect law of liberty, and we can handle of the Word of God. Now, there's people come on and they say, he said, you're reading what God said, but yet some of the people that correct the Bible are getting their corrections, I understand, from Mr. Weiss. And so Mr. Weiss must have been a very intelligent person, because if he's saying it is the Word of God and he corrects it, then he's smarter than God. Doesn't that follow? What do you have to say about that? Wouldn't he be smarter than God if he can correct what God said? So if he says it's the Word of God, and there's people come on, they say, they hold the King James up and say it's the Word of God, and then they correct it. Well, if it's the Word of God and they correct it, they're correcting God.
Right.
And so we don't believe in that. We believe that God has kept his words, and we have it perfect in the English language. Now, in evangelicalism today, people talk like they have it, but then when you get down to it, they don't believe they really have it. They talk about the originals. Well, nobody has the originals. And the Lord Jesus, when he was on the earth, he quoted scripture, and he had copies of copies. And he quoted those copies as being infallible, inspired, and inerrant. The Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. If it's scripture, it's inspired. Inspiration didn't stop with the original autographs. And God said, in Psalms 12:6-7, and this is what our verse is for today. Psalms 12:6-7, we'll talk about that. The words of the Lord are pure words. And so God's words are pure words. I mean, it doesn't, if they're God's words, they don't have errors in it. Now, there's two ideas coming down to us. There's one, what we're promoting here on our radio program and why we have the program. And honestly, I believe that God gave it to us. To me, it's a miracle that every major country in the world is listening. We know because they're contacting us. And I never imagined such a thing, but God just put it here because he wants us to say what we're saying. And we're saying that God, right here, Psalms 12:6, the words of the Lord are pure words. They don't have errors. Now, there's a group out there that believe, like we do, that God preserved his words. And today in the King James Bible, we have God's pure words without error, perfect and true and so on. And then there's another group. They look at the Bible as some kind of a muddy river that has come down to us. And then you have to go to your guru or minister, Greek professor, and he tells you what it really means. He doesn't agree with the words, and he doesn't believe it's pure. Unfortunately, many places where they're teaching preachers, they're teaching unbelief. And a lot of times they're going by, well, we've talked about it before, lexicons, which are Greek-English dictionaries, many of them put out by unsaved people, people that are not born again. The Bible says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. And the natural man then, that's the person that is not born again, not saved. He does not accept the words of God. He rejects the words of God. Now, Jesus came and the religious establishment in his day rejected Jesus. And we know that the Pharisees, everywhere he went, they tried to speak against him. They tried to correct him. They tried to get him in a fault. And for instance, one of the things that they accused him of was working on the Sabbath because he would heal people on the Sabbath day. And they called that work. So they made up the rules for Jesus. And if he didn't go by their rules, then they criticized and corrected him. Now, just as Jesus was criticized and corrected in the flesh, so the words of Jesus are criticized and corrected today that are found in the authorized Bible. And we know that it's the Word of God because the Bible says the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth and he will guide you into all truth and he will abide with you forever. And the great majority of Christians that read the Bible every day, where do they read? Generation after generation, they read the King James. Hundreds of translations have come out, and when the advertising stops, they disappear because the Holy Spirit of God bears witness to the true Word of God. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and a stranger will they not follow. Some of you, when you hear me talk like this, you say, this is a strange teaching. I've never heard this before. Well, let me tell you what some of the preachers said in the past that God has greatly blessed. You have, we get Charles Finney. He said he never felt qualified to correct the King James Bible. We have D.L. Moody, and I have a large number of statements that he made on this, and he directly criticized anybody that corrected the King James Bible. And we have Charles Spurgeon, and once again, he called the correctors of the King James Bible popelings because they decided what the reading should be. And he said that the King James was sufficient. And I have his direct statements. The last message he preached in his Bible Institute was the statement which he stood up for the King James Bible being the Word of God and criticized other people. Billy Sunday was incredibly used of God. He had a revival campaign in New York City with 123,000 converts. And Billy Sunday said that scholarship disagreed with the Word of God, and of course the Word of God to him was the King James Bible, could go plumb to the devil, to put it straight. Dallas Billington was pastor of the world's largest Baptist church before he passed away, and he was in Akron, Ohio, and he said that the King James Bible was verbally inspired. We could go on. Talmage, for instance, He was quoted, he preached in Brooklyn, New York, and preachers use his sermons today, And he preached the next Monday. His sermons were quoted in 600 newspapers the following day. And Pastor Talmadge said that the King James Bible was a perfect translation. Now, let's go to see what the Bible says, Psalms 12, 6. The words of the Lord are pure words. They don't have errors in them. And our time is run by Greenwich England time, and they tell time by the stars. The stars are moving within a fraction of a second. That is incredible. And the Bible says Jesus Christ upholds all things by the word of his power. He is so powerful. He's the most powerful being in the universe. He created the universe, and he runs the universe, and the stars move by his power and strength. And so Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. It would be easier for the sun to burn out and to the stars to lose their places than Jesus' words pass away. So it says, the words of the Lord then are tried as pure words as tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Now today, the modern Bible correctors that have no authority higher than themselves, they say that that translation is wrong. It's strange, however, that all the old commentaries all have it in and they don't correct it. And the old Bibles have it in and they don't correct it. So we just found out something new after thousands of years. We find out that it's not right. Well, they're not right. And it says that God's words are pure words. And the Bible teaches this over and over again. First of all, it's the words that are pure. People talk about the message and so on. Not just the message, it's the very, very words. And the modern ones, they throw Jesus out of his own Bible in 100 places in the New Testament alone. Now it says this, their words are pure as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. And then it says God purifies them. It's like the word of God's like a mountain stream that is purified as it's running down the mountain through the rocks. And the modern idea is that the word of God is just like a muddy river that picks up silt, and you have to go to your particular pastor or Greek teacher to find out what the word really says. I hear young people sometimes, well, I believe in the original Greek. Well, that's a statement put out by two rascals named Westcott and Hort that were evolutionists and dolly worshipers. They talk about the original Greek and about their text being the original Greek, and it was original, all right, it was original with them. But the text behind the authorized King James is based on thousands of manuscripts that have come down to us from the apostles and from the prophets in the Old Testament. It says, thou shalt keep these words. That's God keeping them. People say, well, it's gone through many translations and so on, so we can't be sure. But God says, thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Who's going to keep these words perfect? God will keep them. In a verse I quoted already, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And since the King James came out, hundreds of translations have come out, and most people have never even heard of them because they're man's words and not God. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And so first they come in the Hebrew and then the Greek, and then we have it today in the English language. So God said he would preserve his words. And today we have the perfect words. God said in the Bible, he says, I have honored my words above all my name. Most presidents, when they are inaugurated, they have a King James Bible there. They use Lincoln's Bible that his Baptist mother read to him when he was a child. And so God says he'd honor his word until today. On radio and television, the King James is used more than any other Bible. And most of the people on there, they know if they don't use it, they'd probably lose support because God's people go back to it. We have the true Word of God. The Bible says we can handle the Word of God. The Bible says we can look at the perfect law of liberty. And God's Word tells us, whosoever believeth in him, the Lord Jesus Christ, will be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. Jesus is God in a human body. He died for our sins. He rose from the dead. And we could say, Lord, I'm a sinner, and Lord Jesus, I accept you as my God. Thomas said to Jesus, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said, blessed are they that have not seen and believed. And you will have all the blessings of God. You will have the assurance that you're going to heaven when you die. And Jesus said, whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And we have the perfect word of God for it. God bless you.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantua Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantua Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.